Junk's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond, and Monumental Sports Network. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's time now to hit the skins because it is 7 a.m. It's brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now? Then grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can like Mike Marr is right now. Grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES. You get 10% off. And remember, Don't Sleep makes you, yes, you radio listener, great. Hat tip to Austin Seibert. He was named NFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
Should have been.
Coming off of his 7-for-7 field goal performance in the Commanders' win over the Giants. He is now the franchise single-game record holder for field goals made in a game, and he's been on the roster for like 10 days.
What's the record for field goals made
I believe a few guys hold the record tied
for eight. Wow.
I'm not sure who has that, but I heard it like last week after he kicked the 7 that there are a couple guys tied with 8.
What's Justin?
Sure, we can look it up.
What's Tucker's record? Is he like 5 or 6, Matt? Do you know?
Feel like sorry, say that again.
Tucker's all-time record for, you know, personal record for field goals made in a game. It's probably got to be like 6.
I don't know.
5 or 6.
Detroit.
Did you guys
something like that?
Yeah, he had a lot.
Have you guys noticed what kickers are doing through the first 2 weeks is in the long-range field goals? I believe 35 of 37 from 50-plus. And the only
they've
hit them. The only two misses are Justin Tucker, who usually kills it from 50-plus.
Yeah. He's hit 6 field goals in a game twice.
I mean, the kickers are doing work from distance through 2 weeks.
There's been a lot of discussion on whether Tucker is washed.
Oh, really?
I think he might be cooked.
Uh-oh.
Well, he's been playing a long time.
How many years has he been in the league now?
13, 14?
Yeah, forever, I feel like.
Somewhere in there.
I mean, he's only 34.
Right.
For kickers,
I mean, usually
age.
Those guys can kick forever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only over 50, too. I think it's something in his head.
Got the yips?
He's got the over 50 yips.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's a real thing.
I saw possible. One of them he barely missed.
Still a miss?
It is a miss. Doesn't matter if it's barely or 30 yards wide.
I know, but I wouldn't think that he's washed based on what I saw.
I wouldn't think.
Washed? No. In his head? Yes.
Yeah. Could definitely be a thing.
Didn't he have a big miss last year in the playoffs, I thought?
In the playoffs?
In the playoffs?
I'd have to go look.
Or towards the end of the season?
I'll
find it.
I think he's one for 7 in his last 8 over 50.
Ooh.
It was just 1 for 5 last season over 50.
Oh, yeah, 1 for 7. You include the 2 this year.
That is surprising. Yeah, but anyway,
dates back to last season. Okay. That's why I say he's in his head over 50.
So congratulations.
But you know where he's automatic? 250s. You know where he's automatic?
Inside 50.
Inside 50.
Yeah.
How long were the over 50-yard attempts by Tucker? Because not all plus 50 are equal. Was
last week against the Raiders, it was 52. I think it was 55 against the Chiefs. I think he's had a couple of 60s going back to last season.
Right.
But the two this season have been very makeable, 52 and 55.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'd still want him over 95% of the other kickers.
Yep.
And by the way, Seibert, great game, 7 for 7. But it just means he's going to have a couple of big misses on Monday night. I'm sorry.
I don't know if it happens on Monday night.
I think
but
he's going to have a big miss on Monday night.
That over the course of the season, he's going to be Austin Seibert.
Yeah. He was in a zone.
Hey, what yardage do you guys groan if they miss under?
45.
Is this a real groan?
45?
No.
You're fired if you miss under 45 in my book.
Really?
45? You should be able to kick it out.
I think 45 is solid.
I think it kind of depends.
I think under 40. If you miss under 40, I'm just going to have a real issue with you.
And it kind of depends on the weather. But I would say 42 to 43. Yeah.
If it's under 52, I expect them to make it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nah, I think it's too hard.
Guess with what's happening recently, maybe your expectations have been elevated.
45? You got to hit 98% of those.
Are you killing me? Cake said 40.
I did say 40.
That's the high
My
school.
My stand is apparently very low.
Well, what did the guy, you guys wanted the Commanders kicker fired after week one for missing what, a 49er? What did he miss?
Yeah, but he kicked it out of bounds. He missed two field goals, kicked one out of bounds, and he made an extra point by a whisker.
Oh, he barely got it in.
Well, I will say this. I'm not sure about the actual field goal. Again, it kind of depends on the elements, but extra points should be 100%.
Pretty much. That's a 33-yard.
I mean, 98. Something could happen on the operation.
Right.
Okay, but if you get a clean kick, I think you got to make those. How long are extra points?
33. Yep.
Yeah. You got to make 100% of those.
If I see my kicker coming out for a 50-yarder, I'm putting those points on the board. Oh, you better make it or we're going to have a problem.
Wow, you have really high expectations for kickers, apparently.
I do.
Who's Seattle's kicker?
Jason Myers. And believe me, he misses them all the time. Yeah. I would have cut him 100 times by now.
You should be on the hotline to your head coach, McDonald, to let him know that you're dissatisfied with the production. This is good production.
I'm going to file this away for when you guys are blaming a kicker on a Commander's loss. Mm-hmm.
I'm stealing this from Mason Kinahan on Twitter, @Mason_Kinahan.
That's the young kid.
He is young. The Commanders lead the league in offensive drives with a first down at 74%. That's pretty good. It's pretty impressive.
They're starting their drives much better than they're finishing their drives.
Well, that's true.
So 75% of their first drives of the game, they're getting a first down.
They're not three and outing.
Yeah.
It's good that you're avoiding three and outs.
And I'm guessing the majority of those are Jaden's runs.
I'm sure that's a big part of it.
Yeah. Okay. But how many touchdowns did they score last week?
They scored enough points to beat the Giants.
That's not the question I asked you. That's not the question I asked.
They scored zero touchdowns.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Is it Jaden's fault that the offensive line loves false starting on like the 5 or 7 yard line?
It could be his fault that we just don't know it. Hmm. His cadence could be a little off on a couple of those. We just don't know it.
Possibly. Jaden Daniels off to a historic start to his rookie campaign. He's the first quarterback taken in the first round to account for 500 total yards of offense and not turn the ball over in his first two starts since at least 1970.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty impressive.
Pretty good start.
It's impressive that he has not turned the ball over because he's been hit a bunch.
Right.
Now, he has fumbled some. They just he hasn't lost them.
Right.
But not to throw the picks with all these other rookies, young quarterbacks throwing picks. Not just the rookies, the second-year guys.
Yep.
That's pretty impressive.
Yep, so we have to wait until Monday Night Football for Commanders at the Bengals.
Let me give you the updated betting numbers.
I would love for you to do that.
Bengals, kind of like the Bengals in week one, where they laid about 9 or 9.5 to the Patriots, and they were huge money line favorites, about 4-1 favorites. Bengals laying 9 in this game, -370 on the money line. That means you got to put up $370 to win $100. For them just to win. The total's 47. Washington Commanders team total is just under 21. It's 20.5. The team total for the Bengals, 27.5.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised at the over-under on this. I mean, you might have a more updated number. The number I'm looking at is 47. They're expecting 47. A decent number of points to be scored in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully it's not just a bunch of Austin Seibert field goals again. Hopefully Jaden's able to finish drives, throw his first NFL touchdown pass in this game, and keep the Commanders competitive and keep the game close.
And the Bengals were obviously much better this past week in Kansas City than they were in week one at home against the Patriots. Lost the game, but you know they had the Chiefs beat. The Chiefs had a long fourth down conversion. They only rushed three guys. Mahomes got bounced out of the pocket, threw the ball downfield. There was a pass interference, which ultimately set up the game-winning field goal. If that doesn't happen, the Chiefs lose to the Bengals. But Burrow was 23 of 36, threw a couple touchdowns.
Yep.
They couldn't run the ball, though.
That's been a real issue for them. The Commanders average 176.5 rushing yards per game. The Bengals, 72. Bengals leading rusher, Zach Moss. He's got 21 carries, 78 yards. He's found the end zone once. Mm-hmm. Chase Brown is his backup. He's got 7 carries on the season. And you juxtapose that with Brian Robinson Jr., 29 carries already for 173. Jaden Daniels already through two games, 132 yards rushing. And Austin Eckler, I would expect a little uptick from him, just 10 carries for 48 yards. But the rushing attack for the Commanders clearly carrying them early in this campaign.
We talked about
it being any different in game three.
We talked about it all offseason that though Cliff Kingsbury is known for the air raid, mm-hmm. we actually dive into the numbers. Jason, you would bring this up all the time. He liked running the football in Arizona.
Yep. But he also likes throwing the ball either at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. Now, we saw him open up that a bit in the second half of the game against the Giants, and hopefully you see more of that from the first drive against the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully there's a little more Terry McLaurin involvement. You'd love to see Zach Ertz get more balls as well. That's the guy that Jaden's been leaning on through the first few games. Eckler leads the team in receiving, 99 yards. Ertz right behind him with 90 yards receiving as well on 7 grabs.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati would lean on the run a little bit more than they have against the Commanders, because mm-hmm. Commanders have been struggling against the run.
Right.
And I think that they should give the ball to Chase Brown a little bit more than they have. I think 4 carries, I mean, he got 31 yards on 4 carries.
And he's also a guy that can catch balls out of the backfield. He's effective in that. And a little surprising, this is because T. Higgins is sidelined with a hamstring injury. Not sure whether he's going Monday night yet or not.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Gesicki has had a big role in this offense, a tight end. Already has 10 grabs for 109. He's been targeted 13 times. So yeah. He's been a pretty integral part of the offense. His role should, you know, take a little bit of a back seat. When Higgins shows up, just a matter of when is he going to be ready.
9 targets in the Chiefs game. The week before, he dropped a touchdown pass.
Right.
That would have been maybe the game winner.
And he caught one also that was ruled not a touchdown because he was like, I think it was a separate play where he was like, didn't quite get his feet down.
I think that's the one I was talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he's definitely been a big part of that offense.
100%. But I think Jamar Chase, they're going to target Jamar Chase a bunch. He only had 5 targets in the mm-hmm. Chiefs game. He's going to get triple that.
I would think he should get 12 to 15 targets against this Commander's secondary. Coming up next, we'll talk more NFL with Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider. He'll join us next here on The Fan. Let's head to the BetQL guest hotline, where we're joined by Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Baldy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Baldy.
Terrific here.
Here's a question for you, Baldy. Have you ever participated in an NFL survivor pool?
Did we lose Baldy?
You left him speechless.
Your question.
I'm sorry.
He's beside himself. He's apoplectic.
He couldn't believe the opening question.
He was not prepared for that opening question.
Yeah, so he said, you know what? I'm not here to talk about survivor pools.
I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
I'm going to place a $2 wager.
Okay.
If you're willing to take me up on
probably
it.
Probably no.
The answer is no.
Yeah. Just wondering. Just want to get his thoughts.
I would probably lean towards
just want
no
to get his thoughts on taking the Colts on the road against the Packers.
He's too busy watching and breaking down tape all the time and film.
Yeah, and doing deep sea diving.
Yeah, he loves diving. He can't have time for a survivor pool. Baldy, I think we got you back. Are you there?
Baldy?
I'm all set here, guys. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I'm here.
All right, did you
hear
the question?
We just assumed you were offended by the question.
Yeah,
give it to me there again.
All right, have you ever participated in an NFL survivor pool?
No.
Okay. The reason I asked that is because we were in a big one. There's a one out in Vegas called the Circle Pool. It's a $1,000 entry. Then the winner gets $14 million. That's how many people enter this. But we took this...
I know that casino out there pretty good.
Yeah. Well, they host this thing, and we took the Cincinnati Bengals the very first week. All right.
Yeah.
They were the biggest favorite on the board against the Patriots, and obviously you know what happened. And we're just kind of flipping it forward to Monday night against the Commanders. The Bengals should have beaten the Chiefs last week, and give us your thoughts on that game and how that finished. But the Bengals are desperate for a win at home on Monday night. And we've seen how the Commanders' offense has struggled, certainly in the red zone. Just want to kind of get your thoughts on the Bengals and how desperate they are, even though they've had some, you know, like T. Higgins out and they've got some injuries. But I just think that they're going to get a win.
I mean, I did that game last week in Kansas City.
Right.
So I saw it. I mean, that was a gut punch. They were up by 2 points. With under 2 minutes to go, and the Chiefs were faced at the 4th and 16.
Yep.
And Mahomes threw the ball, you know, a young rookie, jumped over the back of Rashee Rice, and they got a first down, and made another first down, and then Harrison Butker came out there and kicked, I think, a 53-yard field goal to win it, you know.
Yeah. What'd you think of that defense? What'd you think of that defensive call only to rush three guys on that play?
Well, I mean, they're just playing to keep it all in front of them. And, you know, look, I have a lot of respect for Lou Anarumo. I think he's a really good defensive coordinator. And there's a lot of teams that would play just play the sticks and keep everything. I mean, you want to give up 14 yards on 4th and 16, you know, either way, it's a turnover. And the kid just made, look, he's a rookie. He just made an aggressive mistake.
Yeah.
And it hurt him. And it cost him the game. But I wouldn't put it all on him. They got the ball to their tight. All three tight ends had an unbelievable day. They moved the ball really well. They outplayed the Chiefs in that game. They took it away, I don't know, three times. They had great opportunities to win that game. Probably outplayed them for most of the game.
Joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So on the other side, the Commanders on the road against the Bengals. You tweeted about Jaden Daniels about 12 hours ago at Baldy NFL about him being off to a good start. Talk about what you've seen and also talk about how frustrating the false starts were for the offensive line when the Commanders kept getting into the red zone and then they were continually backed up against the Giants.
Well, I mean, that's just, those things are drive killers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just are. They just put you behind the sticks. You know, you've got to overcome those kind of things. It affects everything. It affects how you attack the defense. It affects field position. You know, they move the ball continuously. I mean, the final drive was great. I mean, the throw to Noah Brown over the middle, you know, really killed the Giants, got them in the field goal range there with under 2 minutes to go. So that was a big-time throw by Jaden. But, yeah, I mean, those things are drive killers. Every coach, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, Dan Quinn, I mean, nobody's happy when those things happen. You know, they basically, you know, look, Cornelius is doing the best he can. He's been in this league. I like Cornelius personally. So, I mean, I knew that kid when he was in college. For that kid to still be in the league 10 years, 11 years now, It's pretty remarkable that he's still out there. But, you know, it's just they got to be able to, what they call, hold the water right there in that situation.
Do you put all of that on the offensive line, or could some of that be just the cadence and maybe just miscommunication from a young quarterback?
Yeah, you hope, you know, you don't want to, the quarterback's got to do what he's got to do. I mean, you do get more comfortable the more you're around a particular quarterback, but I wouldn't put that on Jaden. That, you know, the job of the, you know, offensive line is basically move when the ball moves and not before that.
Right.
And, I mean, you got to listen to it and everything, but sometimes you just got to trust your eyes, you know, and just be able to stretch your eyeballs, see the ball, and see your man at the same time.
Have you been impressed by Jaden so far?
Yeah, I have. I've been impressed. I've been impressed by, look, I mean, he's run 26 times.
Yes.
That's not a good formula. I mean, there's a couple of designed runs for sure. On that final drive, there's a good run. But for the most part, you know, that week one against Tampa, I don't know, Todd Bowles was blitzing them when they were up by 25 late in that game. In the final 2 minutes, he was still blitzing. I mean, he saw a color coming. He was going. And, you know, last week there was a lot of runs where I think he could still stay in there an extra tick. I'm not going to tell him not to go. He's so good at it. But, you know, I saw the Giants last week plant him into the turf by two rookies, that Tyler Newbin and Andrew Phillips. And that's not a – like, nobody – look, he's not a big kid to begin with. But nobody is going to survive. Josh Allen is going to survive those kind of hits if you continue to put yourself in that position.
Baldy, I know what you haven't been impressed by, and you tweeted about this yesterday too. The NFC East as a whole's run defense. The Commanders are allowing 4.6 yards per carry. The Cowboys, 4.9 yards per carry. The Giants, 5.3 yards per carry. And the Eagles allowing nearly 6.5 yards per carry against opposing rushers. Like, something's got to change going forward for these teams, or they're just going to get gouged every single week.
Well, they are, and that's where the league is going right now. The teams, you know, I mean, I saw Joe Mixon carry it 30 times against the Colts week one. He had 159 yards. They went up that same Indianapolis Colts, or that same Houston team last week, saw the Chicago Bears, and the Bears completely shut them down. And all it was just good run fits, gap defense, gap integrity, and they just squeezed the run. And Joe Mixon had nowhere to go. Mm. And, you know, he popped one run last week, but he was nowhere near. I mean, he averaged less than 2 yards a carry last week. But when you play good run defense, and that's what Matt Eberflus did last week, I mean, you can see the difference. I mean, the Eagles have no idea what gap defense looks like. You know, they're just very, very undisciplined. I don't know what's being taught by Vic Fangio, but it's an issue. Dallas had the same thing happen to him last week. I mean, New Orleans ran around them. They ran through them. You know, look, it's nobody wants that on the resume right now. And so that's, if you don't fix that, and, you know, I always say September's the new August, all right? You know, nobody really does anything in training camp anymore. But this is, if you can't get your run defense fixed. I know plenty of coordinators that go, okay, we'll run it 40 times today, and we'll melt the clock, and we'll control the game.
Mm-hmm. And, Baldy, the Eagles better buckle up because they have a road trip this weekend to New Orleans.
Sure do.
And you touched on them. They've scored 91 points. Clint Kubiak has been running a masterclass with the pre-snap motion and the complex looks he's giving defenses. So the Eagles, they've got
AJ probably going to be out again.
They've got a lot to deal with this road trip this weekend to the Superdome.
There's no doubt. I mean, they could have easily won that game last week if Saquon catches that ball in the end, or if they run it instead of throwing it on third and three. They probably win that game, and maybe we're looking at, you know, clash of the Titans this week, but. Defensively, look, they have in their defensive line in the first 2 weeks, they put a lot of resources in that defensive line. There's a bunch of first-round picks. There's a free agent that they paid $51 million to. That defensive line has one sack in two games. Mm. They're not pressuring the quarterback, and Derek Carr is the highest-rated quarterback, so I'm not close to anybody else in this business right now. Mm. They fixed their offensive line. That Taliese Fuaga is a mountain of a man at left tackle. And they're a left-handed team. They run behind him a bunch. He's been excellent. That's a difficult offense. I'm going to be down there on Sunday. That's a difficult offense to defend. It's interesting, though, like every team is a little bit different in their approaches. Even this, like, little kind of silly big nothing burger kickoff rule, that team has put every kickoff in play so far. They don't believe and kicking it out of the end zone. They believe in covering the kick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've limited the other team's starting field position to the 27-yard line. Doesn't sound like a lot, but I believe that your defense is an extension of your kickoff coverage team. They're letting their linebackers and defensive backs go down there and make tackles. I'm kind of actually looking forward to talking to some Saints about that and what their thinking is.
Baldy, when you look at the schedule this week, now I realize that, you know, now that we've added a game to the regular season, going 0-2 isn't as bad percentage-wise. But still, you're 0-2, you're looking at 0-3, and I don't know what the percentages are, 0-3 of making the playoffs, but it can't be good. But there are some teams, I already mentioned the Bengals at 0-2, so they're desperate. The Ravens, Jacksonville playing in Buffalo at 0-2, and Trevor Lawrence has looked terrible. The entire offense has in 2 weeks. The Ravens are going on the road to play Dallas at 0-2. I think the Rams are done because of their injuries. So they're probably cooked. Mm-hmm. But how many of these 0-2 teams do you feel like they still have a legitimate chance?
Mm-hmm.
Ravens, I guess you believe they do.
I believe they do, although, you know, I mean, how far can you fall behind Pittsburgh right now at 2-0? And, you know, defensively they're playing as good as anybody in this business. And they're kind of hanging in there. And, you know, it's going to be a great game, actually. One of the better games this week with the Chargers going there and the style of play,
right,
you know, that Jim Harbaugh is emphasizing right now. So that's going to be great. I mean, seeing the rookie Joe Alt against T.J. Watt, I can't wait to watch that, just that little individual battle. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Houston and Minnesota, both those teams are 2-0. Somebody's going to be 3-0. And who would have thought that Minnesota could be in that position? But, yeah, if Baltimore falls to – if they fall, you know, to 0-3 with a trip to Dallas, that's going to be a difficult crypt to come out of. There's certainly, you know, but even at 0-3, if you figure out what isn't working, whatever that is for any team, you know, all you got to do is start stacking some wins, and you can climb out of it. Might, you know, not be until November, but you can get back out of it if you start putting that streak together.
So, Baldy, you got a game tonight, Patriots at the Jets. I saw you did a film breakdown of the Jets. Obviously, the spotlight's always on Aaron Rodgers, but it's the two running backs doing the damage there, right?
They scored all the touchdowns last week. You know, they were really, I mean, if you went out to any OTA or you went out to, you know, summer camp this year, they drafted two running backs, Braylon Allen in the third round, Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State. They're both huge. I mean, Braylon Allen's 240. But the one thing that jumped out at any practice you went to, they both catch the ball really well. And as does Breece Hall. They scored all their touchdowns last week, one on a screen, one on a go route to Breece Hall. They put him out there on the outside against a middle linebacker, and Aaron Rodgers wasn't looking at anybody else but Breece Hall through an absolute dime. They hope to be able to stay in their offense, keep the running game going, and be able to run both backs. And, you know, if you get Braylon Allen up to 10 carries in a game, which is possible, he's going to punish you. Like, he is a big, strong, tough back. I mean, a lot like Brian Robinson is. He's probably bigger than Brian, but he's very talented. And the two of them are a real strength to this offense.
All right, last question, Baldy. Give me your thoughts on the struggles that Bryce Young's going through. Just kind of watching him on the sideline, on the bench, when coaches are coming over to talk to him after he throws a pick or they have a bad drive. He's got zero confidence, zero. And, of course, he's been benched. So give me your thoughts on how they've played it. Do you think that they should have benched him? And, well, I don't know, what do you think the future is for the kid?
Well, I don't know if it's a permanent benching, but, you know, his first pass against New Orleans a couple weeks ago was an interception.
Right.
He threw it. Now, I don't know what Deontay Johnson was doing. He looked like he gave up on the route, so the quarterback falls on the quarterback. But the problem right now, and probably why he got benched, is you can see, and they've been dreadful in offense, but they're dreadful everywhere right now.
Yes, they are.
But none of the team has confidence in him. You can just see how the receivers, you know, when it's another errant throw or just a scramble or whatever it is, they're just walking off the field hanging their heads. And the quarterback isn't giving the team any confidence. And so you go to Andy Dalton, all right, I don't know, you know, I'm sure he's going to play better than what Bryce is playing, but they might have just gotten this whole thing wrong. He might have just been a great, great player at Alabama and a real leader on a team that was loaded and on a team that isn't very good around him and has had nothing but changes since he's gotten there, from firing the staff to new coaches, new general managers. Like, all of the transition isn't helping him at all. But that being said, you just don't see the necessary skills. It's early, but you just don't see the necessary skills that you need to move an offense.
He could be the next Zach Wilson.
Well, I mean, Zach, he could be. Yeah, he could be. I mean, Zach won a few games. You know, I mean, he made some good throws. I just don't think he really understood their offense at any point.
Mm.
And he was another guy that got caught up in all the transition and everything else that was going on around him.
Baldy, thanks as always for the time. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good time in New Orleans covering Saints-Eagles.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, thanks, sir. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Don't forget Dave Richard talks fantasy football week 3 with us coming up at 8 a.m. So some pretty big music news broke in the last half hour. Metallica are continuing their world tour into 2025. So here's
didn't know they were on a world tour.
They're on a world tour. Okay. So it's pretty cool what they're doing. They're part of their tour is called a no repeat weekend, where they'll do 2 stadium dates, 2 nights, 2 different sets, 2 different opening acts.
Where they do have enough of a library.
Oh, they don't play the same songs.
Okay. Right. So they're doing that in Toronto, Nashville, Columbus, Philly, Tampa, Santa Clara, Denver. They're doing one night only in these cities. You tell me which one jumps out at you here. Vegas, Syracuse,
Blacksburg,
Virginia.
Yep.
May 7th, nice. They're playing Lane Stadium. How cool is that going to be?
I talked to a guy down at Tech last night,
They're also playing Northwest Stadium on May 28th, but playing Lane Stadium before that.
Oh, they're playing here.
They're playing here May 28th.
It makes all the sense in the world.
Totally.
But I was talking to somebody from Tech last night. He's in the athletic department,
right.
But he said, you're not going to believe what's going to happen here in May. And he wouldn't tell me.
So he was keeping it under, you know what? Smart. He's keeping it under wraps.
And that's the week before graduation.
Okay.
Just go down there for a week.
Graduation is
put in your vacation days now and take a week and a half.
What? Drabby won't let me take vacation. I mean, Eric, I swear to God, Eric takes 42 days a year.
Yeah.
All right. And I somehow only get 30. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it's possible.
He takes a lot of days and he claims he hasn't used his days. Yeah. I don't
know if Drabby, do you even
think anybody tracks it.
Do you listen when I say I was just kidding?
I'm just kidding too.
It's not possible.
Except for you'll be gone during a month during football season, but it's fine.
Well, you know what? You lean on three other guys. But he said, you're not going to believe what's going to happen here. And I said, well, tell me. He goes, I can't tell you yet.
Right. He had strict silence.
That place is going to be madness.
That it's going to be every seat filled, just insanity. Yeah,
I'll be there.
How many times have you seen Metallica cakes? I've never gone, so I should go to the one in FedEx.
Northwest Stadium now. I think I've seen them probably 6 to 8 times in my life. Haven't seen them probably it's probably been about a decade. But with them coming, I mean, they're going to be in our backyard on May 28th. I have to go. With Pantera and Suicidal Tendencies opening, I mean, that's a great triple bill.
Love Pantera.
I feel like I have to be there.
Kevin loves Pantera.
Loves them. But yeah, that's big news. Metallica coming to Blacksburg, Virginia. That place is just going to be insanity. And that has to be one of the smaller rooms that they're playing.
I wonder what they'll close with.
What the encore will be.
It's going to be nuts.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're playing, obviously, in Vegas, they'll play Allegiant. In Syracuse, they'll play whatever the Carrier Dome is called now. Blacksburg, what does that hold, about 50,000? Lane Stadium, their capacity?
It might be more than that.
And they're playing in the round. They're going to be in the middle of the where the football field would be.
Right.
Cool.
Playing in the round. So that's pretty big news. And Metallica is adding Lane Stadium to their tour itinerary.
Capacity is about 65,000.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
It's bigger than FedEx.
It's there will be 65,000 people there.
It will be jam packed.
Because it's not like it's in the middle of the summer where school's out.
Right.
I mean, school is in.
Right.
There will be more than that because they're going to use the field.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
It might be like 70 plus thousand.
Yeah.
Very cool that they're adding Lane Stadium to their tour dates. I think that's a nice touch by them because obviously, you know, Enter Sandman is such a huge part of the intro there. It's become iconic.
Your friend should have told you, so you could have booked a hotel last night.
Yeah. He's not much of a friend.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, he
said he couldn't say, but.
You should have said, Jason, I can't tell you what it is. I want you to book a hotel.
Right.
In Blacksburg May 27th.
Book block a hotel.
Well, here's the problem.
Some of his blickies.
Yeah. Right.
Here's the problem. If I'd booked a hotel for that particular weekend, because I already have the hotel booked for graduation, three-night minimum, by the way. All right. And they charge more for graduation than they do football games.
Of course they're gonna just bend you over for that.
So Clemson is going to Blacksburg November.
Okay.
The hotels are outrageously priced.
Sure.
Graduation's double.
Wow.
I guarantee you for Metallica, these hotels are going to charge minimum, probably two-night minimums.
Easy.
And the prices are going to be outrageous. I will go poor if I go down there for both weekends. I want to, but I don't know if I can do it.
Mm. Hey, I don't know about you, but I love Metallica.
Yeah.
But I can't stand Enter Sandman anymore.
You're over it?
Well, I just like, every time I hear it, it just makes me quiver because I think about work.
Right. It being 6 a.m.
I just think it's time for work. Every time I hear the guitars, I go, show's starting.
Right.
I'm with you. I skip it.
Insta skip.
Yeah.
I never was like that before. I got sights for Enter Sandman.
Sure.
Likewise. It's on my Spotify and I listen to my liked songs and if it comes up, skip it. Heard it too much.
We do hear it 5 days a week.
Yeah. Work ruined Metallica.
But I will say this.
Didn't ruin Metallica, but that song.
I will say this, Matt. Going down to Hokie games and being in the stadium when they play that and they come, I could see why you'd say that, but it's a whole different vibe.
Oh, I know. I went down for a Thursday night game where the Hokies hosted the Terps.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I saw it firsthand. Right. I saw the Enter Sandman bit.
It's a different vibe.
I know. It's cool when it's down there.
Yeah.
Now, if you heard it in the morning at 5:55, then that's
I hear it on my Spotify, insta-skip.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's on Pandora, thumbs down.
Yep. You can't do it.
But
does anybody still use Pandora?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't.
I think they were knocked out, much like betas were knocked out back in the day by VHS.
What about Tidal, Jay-Z's music streaming service?
Impossible.
Anybody? Anybody out there? No? Crickets?
Crickets.
Nothing?
Crickets.
But touring is where all these bands are making their money,
of course,
right?
Like, yes.
Since Spotify took over, nobody's selling albums.
No. And whatever they're getting paid for per stream is so minimal.
Correct.
It's tiny. Yeah, you got to tour. You got to sell merch. You got to have private VIP experiences.
My daughter's just going to be, she wouldn't know Metallica. Besides that one song,
yeah.
She wouldn't know Metallica from.
She wouldn't know, like, play some Disposable Heroes, Valdez. Oh, it's so good off Master
Puppets. But that's going to be the biggest thing ever.
Oh, it's going to be
down there.
Massive.
A week before graduation.
Yep. Mark it on your calendar, May 7th.
Cakes and I interviewed a couple of Metallica members.
We interviewed.
I've already forgotten who they were.
I can tell you exactly who they were. It was Kirk Hammett, and it was Robert Trujillo, the bassist.
Yes.
I mean, we didn't get James and Lars, but that's okay.
Where was that at?
That was
at Asylum.
Asylum. Or did we?
I'm pretty sure we interviewed them at Asylum.
It was either there or at. I think then it was Verizon Center. I mean, that was 20 years ago.
Back when we were at the HFS.
That's when Metallica put out St. Anger.
Asylum did.
It might be over.
There was a spot, which I think it's like the Verizon store now, which sold like skateboards and things like that. And they were an advertiser and they built a little studio.
I think you're right.
We would do some interviews with the studio. Shocker, EB and Lurch didn't show up.
Yeah.
Cakes and I went and taped an interview.
Yeah. So they were very nice.
With the Metallica guys.
Yep.
Yeah, and occasionally we went to that side studio. I forgot where it was. Yep. That's where you did the Lil.
Yeah, I did the ill-fated Distillers interview.
Can any of you guys interview the Distillers?
Never like, again.
Who are the Distillers? We need at least two of you to show up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Cakes and I went.
Wished I hadn't shown up.
Interviewed the Distillers.
Never again.
So you said they're playing Northwest Stadium. Which date?
They are playing Landover May 28th.
May 28th, okay.
Blacksburg.
Just
May,
one night.
May 7th, just one night.
Yeah.
We better.
Is that a Friday night? I think it's a Friday.
I don't know. Maybe. I have to look at the sched.
There better be a ticket allocation. I just saw a Baltimore rock station says since it's the M72 tour, they're giving out 72 tickets or 72 pairs of tickets.
Okay.
Odyssey better be getting in on that and give them out to some employees.
Yeah, let's shoehorn some tickets.
Last minute email.
Yeah,
that'd be nice. Wendy.
Yeah. Hey, we got extra tickets to Metallica.
I'm
going to
guess you're not
going
to get that email from Wendy about having extra tickets to Metallica, but maybe I'm wrong.
Mm.
And it looks like, not at our stop, but it looks like Limp Bizkit is playing some of them.
Limp Bizkit is playing some of the No Repeat weekends where they're doing two nights.
Wow, I didn't know if Sarah Cahill was caller 10 to Metallica.
Yeah. She's trying to get in. Trying to get those tickets.
Yeah, we'll have to use that maiden name.
Yeah, exactly. What is her maiden name again? You know, just keep it on the down low.
Yeah, down low. Yeah,
that's probably smart. That's a better move. All right, so that is big news. Metallica coming to Blacksburg May 7th and also stopping in Landover May 28th. So those are going to be some fun events for all of you metalheads out there. Coming up at 8, that's in about 5 minutes, Dave Richard is going to join us. So get your fantasy football questions ready. 800-636-1067. You can call in on the MGM National Harbor. Listener lines, week 3 begins tonight as the Patriots take on the Jets.